Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Imagine a year where Mel Brooks won't stop making movies. Please stop. Give the actors some time to breathe.
What year is that, Zach?
The year is 1974.
Oh, so he's not making movies now. Okay, got it.
No, but right. Back then, back in the day, lots of...
Yeah.
Sleep paralysis demon.
Whoa! Oh my god! I'm being haunted by demons! Help! Where am I?
Oh, I am another one, but
Oh my god!
I'm your paralysis demon that drops exposition.
Oh my god!
You are in Transylvania!
Oh, exposition, my worst nightmare!
I am a demon!
Ah!
This is Demon. All Demon says is that he is a demon.
Whoa! No! Exposition Demon, stop it! I know! I can see the context by watching the film!
Ooh!
You see, what Demon's doing there is trying to scare you.
No, stop explaining
And
everything.
As you already know...
I'm not an American audience!
We are demons!
Just stop it! Ah, this is my worst nightmare. How do I snap out of this?
Oh, you need to believe in yourself.
Oh, well, at least Exposition Demon is helpful there, I guess. I guess I'm believing in myself. I believe in myself. I believe that I can get the context of the film by watching it and not have it spelled out to me.
Zach, it was me the whole time as the demon. I just made you look like a fool trying to believe in yourself. You got pranked.
Oh, I'm an idiot. I never should have believed in myself.
I'm still dropping exposition, though, because the other demon is Jacob.
Oh, Jacob? Is that you?
Psych. It was me the whole time.
Wait, what are you doing here?
I thought I'd come keep you company.
Oh, cheers, man.
Happy to help and explain the Jewish references.
Oh, yeah.
It's true. We are doing two Mel Brooks movies, which means we had to get Jacob in.
Yeah, of course. That makes total logical sense.
Hello, and welcome to Oldie But A Goodie. That's right. It's the first bonus battle of the year.
Whoa, bonus battle.
Zach, last year we did a bonus battle on Dracula and Frankenstein, which was monsters. And we did a bonus battle on True Grit and Butch Cassidy, which was westerns. And this time we're doing a bonus battle that's horror versus western, but they're both parodies.
Whoa!
So it's a bonus battle.
It's a bonus battle of the bonus battles, but it's a parody of the bonus battles.
Exactly.
Bonus battle.
This is huge. And Jacob's here for this, and we made him watch more movies.
Hello.
How did we do this time?
Well, can I just say, you guys are getting better at podcasting. Yeah. Every time I'm on. Yeah. Wow, listening to that.
Well, that's the first
besides
time.
Besides for the intro.
the post.
Besides
intro.
From the bit that you've done so far, you guys are doing great.
No. But after the intro, that next intro was very smick.
That's good. I'm glad. Now, Jacob, I don't think we've made you watch a good movie since Shrek. Mm-hmm. Which was 2 years ago.
Yeah, the one where two was the better movie and one was still good, but not as good as two.
Not how I remember.
Even by your own admission.
That was quite a contentious episode.
But then I went online and people confirmed my ideas Then I went back. I was like, wait, no, I never should have let them convince me.
People online will tell you anything. People online will...
Yeah, I know, it's great. I get in my own little box of community.
Yeah.
Mm.
Like some sort of chamber that echoes. Yeah. And then they just tell me what I want to hear. It's
you went to www.shrek2isbetterthanshrek1.com.
Yeah. Yeah, after I made the website, yeah, yeah. I went there, and everybody flocked in. It was great.
You know what? I would say that the new Puss in Boots is better than Shrek Ooh. 1. Actually, no, I think it goes Shrek 1, new Puss in Boots, Shrek 2,
and then
4... Old Puss in Boots, and then 3 is obviously the worst one.
I cannot believe that Old Puss in Boots is even up there.
I don't remember it, that's
yeah,
why.
Yeah, I watched that. I have watched all the canonical Puss in Boots memorabilia.
Did you do the Choose Your Own Adventure Netflix
special?
Yes, I
did do that. I didn't get all the way through it. That's pretty fair. I couldn't. I tried my hardest.
Yeah, well, you're more of a diehard fan than Jacob and I.
Yeah, correct.
It was painful. But besides Shrek.
But Jacob, are these the worst movies? Because every time you come on the show, I feel like you say, this is the worst movie I've ever watched.
These are good movies.
All right, good. There we go. That's good.
We did it, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. Is that a controversial take?
No. I like the movies. I think these are quite good. One of these, definitely, I had to warm up on. One of these, at first, I was like, what the fuck am I watching?
Yeah, one of these, I was... Yeah, yeah. Okay, we'll do non-spoilers and then spoilers as usual, except spoilers is going to be the bonus battle. But we're going to rate them oldie or a goodie anyway, so it's going to be obvious which one wins from the get-go. But you know what I mean? Just stick around. It'll be fun either way. Do we go by order of release then? Because both came out in the same year.
Yeah,
I'm curious to know which one came first.
Blazing Saddles came first.
There you go.
Blazing Saddles came first in February of 1974, and then Young Frankenstein was December. Zach, first impressions of Blazing Saddles, what did you think?
That was the one that had to warm up on me. Look, I liked it. I liked it in the end. But really, the intro, I felt like it got better as it went along. The intro was a bit wild, and I didn't know what direction it was sort of going in. Because it was like cowboys, bit of racism, but then it's a musical. Haha, it's a musical. And I was like, what? What is going on? I don't know... What is happening? And then we get to the main character and it starts doing his sort of story in it, which sort of like brings it to make it more cohesive.
Yeah,
I think just wasn't very cohesive at first. And then it got a bit more cohesive as it went along. And I'm like, all right, I'm down with this.
Okay.
And I had a turning point in this film and I'm very embarrassed by it. It's probably
What do you mean by turning point? Like the point where you got on the movie's wavelength?
Yeah, on the movie's side, yeah. On its wavelength. And it was the scene, spoiler, where all the cowboys are around and farting. And it really just, it was like the straw that broke the camel's back.
That's when you started laughing?
That's the first moment in that film where I burst out laughing.
This is the first time I think you've ever admitted a fart joke has made you laugh on the podcast.
Look, I've had a mixed relationship with fart jokes over the years. I have hated them, I've loved them, and I've loved to hate them. But this one really, I was just not expecting it. And I sort of broke down at the stage because it was so stupid. It was just the lowest point of comedy that was possible in the situation. And I also started laughing knowing that I would have to tell you guys that this was the moment where I laughed in this film.
Okay.
And I just had a moment and I'm like, fuck, I'm going to have to explain it. This is what made me laugh.
That is very... I thought that it was another moment that made you get on the movie side.
There you go.
I'll mention what that was later.
It was the fart joke that did it. And then I was kind of on board. Like, it went up from there for me, the film. And I quite enjoyed the rest of the film. Especially the wacky ending.
Now, you've seen Blazing Saddles before, Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
When did you first see it? What did you think of it the first time you saw it? How young were you when you first saw it as well?
Good question.
Well, it's probably like a year or two ago.
Okay.
Nice.
And I'm 29. So
Ooh,
if you're listening to this podcast, you can probably do the math
on that. Look, I'm a big fan.
I'll say up the top here that people are always like, Blazing Saddles couldn't be made today, blah, blah, blah. But I think it couldn't be made today because it's like such an anti-racist film
that people
would get mad at it for actually trying to, you know, look American racism in the eye. I think it's a funny, good movie.
Yeah. And I'm also like, why would they make it today when it's already been made as well? Why would they do that? Why would they?
Look, that is a classic joke. People are like, oh, Blazing Saddles couldn't be made today, it's already been made. But that hasn't stopped.
It hasn't stopped. They actually tried to make a TV show based off Blazing Saddles, I think in the 90s. Yeah. So they tried to make it again, but it completely failed. But yeah. Okay, I first saw Blazing... I've got a funny story with Blazing Saddles. I first saw it when I was maybe 8 years old. But when I say I first saw it, what happened was, the series of events was, as we've talked about on the podcast before, my parents liked making me watch old comedies. That's where I got a lot of my sense of humor from, like The Great Race, that sort of stuff. So they were like, time for a brand new old comedy. You like Spaceballs, let's put on another Mel Brooks movie. Let's put on Blazing Saddles. And watching my parents remember what the movie was in real time and how I shouldn't be watching it is a core memory that I have. And they turned it off pretty early on, maybe like 10 minutes in, because they just remembered what the movie was. I'm like, maybe you should wait a little bit longer for this one. Which is fair enough, because this is not a comedy that kids would get, I don't think.
When did you tackle it again?
Not until this watch.
Wow, I didn't get around to it. Wow.
I am a big Mel Brooks fan, but haven't seen a lot of his earlier stuff, so I actually also watched The Producers on top of these two, which was the classic one where a bunch of stage producers want to commit fraud, so they make a musical that's bound to fail, which is called Springtime for Hitler. and it accidentally does very well.
Nice!
So yeah, I think Blazing Saddles is good. I was interested, as soon as it started, I was like, I want to know who else wrote this, because I don't think this is a movie that Mel Brooks necessarily can make with certain elements of it. But Richard Pryor, who is a black man, helped write it. So I think I'm okay with it. I think it's pretty funny, but I think Mel Brooks' sense of humor got better. Like, he tried a lot of new stuff here that he then got better at later on. It doesn't necessarily work as well in Blazing Saddles, but I still think it's pretty fun. I'm going to give it a goodie. I think it's a good film. I highly recommend it. If you like comedy, check it out. If you like Monty Python but want it to be American, check it out.
Yeah.
If you like Adam Sandler.
Yeah.
Before...
Who doesn't?
Adam Sandler before he got bad. But weirdly doing what he now does.
Yeah.
I see what you mean.
If that kind of makes sense.
I'll give it a goodie as well.
Yeah.
It definitely had... It had to work to get me back over the start of the film, you know?
Yes.
It put in the effort, though. And I was back on board by the end of it. But I think I enjoyed Frankenstein more.
Okay. How about you, Jacob?
Oh, definitely Blazing Saddles is a goodie, but I enjoyed Young Frankenstein less.
Interesting.
So I don't know if that one's a goodie, but this is, yeah, luck in this.
Cool.
That is
a goodie from Jacob as well. Yeah, I think Blazing Saddles is like the ultimate 70s comedy because it's breaking barriers. It's trying to do its own thing. It's been a bit out there, a bit controversial, doing stuff that would have been looked down a lot in the 60s.
I think that's what affected it for me the most, is this would have been really blazing back in the day. You know, this would have been in your face. Like, hey, you're all racist pieces of shit, motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Whereas now I see a meme on that, like, every two scrolls, you know? Like, it doesn't have the same, like, impact, I feel, as it did back in the day, you know? I mean, really breaking grounds.
Yeah, I mean, definitely with some of the stuff that happens later on in the movie, we've gotten better versions of that, like, recently as well. But and I also think that there is some stuff in it that is just a bit racist. Like, the brown face. Why is that in the movie? If that's meant to be a joke on brown face, great. But if it's not, it's just Mel Brooks dressed up as a Native American for no reason.
Yeah.
Really. So, like, small stuff like that, I'm like,
So that's Mel Brooks.
That is Mel Brooks,
yes.
Yeah.
That's...
The joke of a Native American chief speaking Yiddish is funny.
Yeah.
But also, make it more of a statement.
Okay, that scene now lines up a bit more for me. Yeah.
Like you can't make
it... weird scene.
It's like you can't make an anti-racism movie and then be accidentally racist in your anti-racism movie.
Well, that's where you're wrong, Sandro.
Anyway, three goodies. Before we move on to Young Frankenstein, a couple of taglines. Got a couple of taglines for you.
All right.
Thumbs up or thumbs down. Mm-hmm. Mel Brooks and the West together for the last time. This was his first time making a Western.
Yeah,
they made that.
What do you mean the last time?
I don't know.
Publicists, that's by them.
Did he? That's only a thumbs up if he never made anything to do with Westerns ever again after that.
He made The Producers. He made, I think,
big thumbs
more
down.
Of a drama. Ooh, was his second movie. This was his third
movie.
It's weird. Yeah. Mel Brooks's comedy saga of cowboys and imbeciles. It's fine.
I'll give it a thumbs up. Yeah. You can give it a shaky middle. That's what I usually give
that's
one.
A shaky middle.
And the third and final one is never give a saga an even break. I don't know what that is. What does that mean?
That's what I felt like I gave this film, an even break, you know, after the start of the film.
I don't know what these taglines are. Anyway. All right, Young Frankenstein. Zach, first impressions of Young Frankenstein.
I liked it a lot. It was definitely a lot more subtle and played back, and it just turned into Frankenstein for a lot of it.
It is just Frankenstein.
Yeah. Luckily, I like Frankenstein. And as you said, we did Frankenstein recently. And so that was the most obvious comparison with that. And I quite enjoyed that, you know, side by side, essentially, as we went through.
Yeah.
It was a bit more of a calmer tone, which I appreciate. I guess I was just in a calmer mood, you know. Maybe because I watched it after Blazing Saddles.
Oh, okay.
And I was a bit, you know, I was glad it was chill. If it was more Blazing Saddles, I would have been lost, I feel.
If it was a bit more shouty and intense and fast-paced.
That being said, like, half the jokes seem to not land half the time. But, you know.
There's one character who didn't land. We'll talk about that later.
Okay. That's fair. But I felt like in both of them, there was a lot of jokes thrown in. And some of them didn't stick. This is for both the films as well.
Definitely. I feel like Blazing Saddles had a lot of current references to people in the 70s that just go over our heads now. Like, they'd just be like, I'm running away, like, random name. Like, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know who that is.
I think Blazing Saddles aged the most of these two films, which is funny because this one's in black and white. And it's specifically made to look old.
Yeah.
But I had good fun. I liked that it almost felt like a sequel to it.
A sequel to Frankenstein.
Yes. Yeah. Sequel to Frankenstein and all that. I enjoyed it.
I agree. I enjoyed it. I think it is a straight movie parody, whereas Blazing Saddles is a genre parody. This is more of a Robin Hood Men in Tights, where they've taken a movie and just added jokes into it. But I thought it was a nice recreation of movies from back then. And I think Gene Wilder in particular was excellent in Young Frankenstein as the young Frankenstein.
I love his eyes. He's very good. Stop staring into his eyes.
But Igor was annoying. Jacob, what did you think of Young Frankenstein?
Jacob, why are we wrong?
Look, I liked it. It was fine. But watching it, and then, so I watched it, then I watched Blazing Saddles. I was just like, I like the rapid fire jokes in Blazing Saddles. And all the ones that are in Young Frankenstein, that's what I liked. So, I don't know, like, I wish he'd done it, but for some reason, or maybe he had to ride it with that other rider or something.
Yeah.
And just get, like, three or four times the joke count up. Because that's what's funny, in my opinion, about his movies.
Yeah, it's just how many jokes there are.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it was fun. It was good. Like, I didn't hate it. It wasn't like some other movies that you make watch. But also, you got to keep in mind, I only watch movies when I'm here on this podcast.
Yep.
And
Jacob doesn't watch movies. It's
and
true.
And then I watch a lot in
Jacob
December.
Jacob knows to hate movies.
When I'm on holiday.
He despises cinema.
So I don't really get the parodies. I don't really get the 1920s stuff. But for both these films, I really like that they're shot on set.
Yeah, definitely.
Which obviously they were back in then, but
I mean, Blazing Saddles, it was on set.
Yeah, correct. So I like that.
Yeah. I think, like, with Young Frankenstein,
it's
the joke count is very low. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's not that rapid fire.
I think it could have been fun if they did more rapid fire jokes throughout Frankenstein. I think that's fair.
Also, the issue is, because there's low, the ones that don't hit,
They stick with you for a
while.
They
stick with you longer.
Like,
where
20 jokes in the movie.
Yeah.
And maybe like 10 are good.
Yeah.
Whereas the rapid fire jokes in Blazing Saddles is like, if one bad hits, the next one's after it. You don't have time to contemplate how shit the last joke was.
Correct.
I see that.
Yeah, I was like that in particular with Igor, who's played by Marty Feldman. I haven't seen him in anything else before. I think he might have done some Monty Python stuff, with them. I'm not sure. But whenever he would do a joke, I liked Igor half the time.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
But whenever he was annoying, he's the only thing making jokes on screen whenever he's making jokes. Yeah. So if it didn't land, it was just kind of like a...
He was like, he had a 50% ratio throughout that whole film of like, he either landed a joke or it was terrible.
Yeah.
Like there was one point where there was a joke and then he looks to the camera and explains the joke. And I was fucking furious at him. Like, why the fuck did they do that? Just move on, you fucking...
Yeah.
It's exactly my paralysis deeming of explaining the fucking joke. I was so mad.
But I think Young Frankenstein is maybe like filmmaking wise, it's probably better made because it's very true to the style that they're trying to do. It is just written by Gene Wilder and Mel Brooks, that one. There's no, like, Blazing Saddles is written by like five people, I think.
Wow.
The only two I know of are Mel Brooks and Richard Pryor. Young Frankenstein feels like I made Blazing Saddles, which was the hit, and now I do one for myself.
Yeah.
Kind of felt like that.
It was interesting because it's really not very different from Frankenstein. It's just the same story, so there's really not much different from
that. Ignorant question.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
So Frankenstein is a movie that you're talking about? I know it's a book.
Yes. Yeah.
But
they
also made a movie.
Yes.
And when did that come out?
Well, there's been like probably 10 Frankenstein movies.
Yes,
they're
a lot,
all
but
the
when you
same.
Say it's a parody. Yeah, so
it's probably a direct parody of the one from like 1930 something.
Yeah,
like early 30s.
This is like the worst movie of all time, they say, is the one that's like a parody of Sherlock Holmes, but it came out too late with do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, the Jim Carrey one.
Will Ferrell.
Yeah, that one was awful.
Holmes and Watson or something so it's called.
Yeah.
But it just came out so far after the one they were parodying that no one got that there was a parody.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of what was happening with me. Like, I didn't realize this was
right.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
That one was painful.
I feel like a lot of Mel Brooks movies are like that. Like, Spaceballs came out way too late to parody Star Wars.
Mm.
If you look at when it came out. It was like 6 years after Episode 6.
Or way too early.
But also, like... A lot of, his parodies just come out at weird times in comparison to the movies that they're parodying. Like, he's very weird with how he picks movies to parody. Anyway.
Ben's just going through his catalog, going through his shelf, and like, I haven't parodied this one. Let's try that one.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I quite like Young Frankenstein. I think it's good. I'm going to give it a goodie. I think I know which one I prefer, but I'm not going to spoil it just yet. But I quite liked Young Frankenstein. I thought it was good fun. So I'm going to give it a goodie. How about you, Zach?
I'll give it a goodie. And I'm probably on Frankenstein's side. I liked Frankenstein a lot. Although I feel like, I don't know. I think Blazing Saddles might be the better movie.
Okay.
From a creative point. Because they actually like came up with a story and made something new. Right?
Mm.
Instead of like just pretty much copy-pasting a story and adding jokes in.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it a lot. I was just... Maybe it was just the mood I was in, but I was, like, in that mood set to just...
For
watch
sure.
a movie where I knew what the plot was, but they threw in funny jokes and made fun of it.
And you were surprised by the jokes.
I was like, ha-ha, he has a giant schlong? Lol.
That was...
What a peak of comedy.
was indeed...
Absolute peak of comedy.
Yeah, that was the consistent joke for Young Frankenstein. What did you think? Are you going to give it an oldie or a
that's
goodie?
That's a goodie from me.
What's the lightest goodie you can give?
We only have all your goodie.
Yeah,
it is
so
a binary system.
It's a very
system.
Binary system.
Yes, if you want to check me off as one, I'll say goodie.
Mm.
But like...
Just do a Ben and just destroy our system. Just lay
just
in.
Come up with your own thing.
Yeah, be like, your
like,
fucking system sucks.
Look, I'm not doing a Ben.
I
understand the importance of statistics and categorization. And the premise of your podcast.
Sure. We don't even like the premise of our podcast.
So if you need one or the other, I get it. And I'm going to say goodie.
Yep.
But like, there's a lot of other movies. Every single other goodie that I've ever gave.
This is the lowest
this.
On your goodie podium.
Right.
Yeah,
correct. Because I don't want to say it's an oldie. Because it's like, it actually held up fine. Like you could show this to somebody and it's like, it's a fine movie today, you know?
Yeah.
That's my thoughts.
All right. Well, I'll put it down as a goodie, but there's nuance to that goodie.
Put it as a Franken goodie.
As opposed to because my oldies... Also, I can't really give it an oldie in good faith. Because my oldies are normally like...
This is like, the worst like, piece I'm of cinema angry I've
that,
ever seen.
Yeah. That this wasn't deleted from the internet.
We have made you watch a lot of bad comedies.
Yeah, we have really dragged you through the mud to get here.
So this is it would be a discredit to all those movies' badness to give this an oldie.
For sure. Yeah. Alright, well, a couple taglines before we get into the battle. this is a tagline for Young Frankenstein. Come early, get a seat.
What?
I don't know.
Thumbs I think down. That's. I think is that because when they're saying that, like they're like, "Come on, look at the monster."
Maybe.
Do they say it there?
Maybe.
Is it to do with the whole thing where it's like Frankenstein's like a performer in this for some fucking reason?
I think it's just come watch the movie. I think that's what it is.
Thumbs down. Thumbs down.
And the only other tagline is the scariest comedy of all time. Which is not true.
That's not even close.
Like, Bachelor Party on its own is scarier.
Was this before... Bachelor Party was before this?
This was before Bachelor Party, yeah.
Well then...
Every bad comedy we've made you watch is after this.
Yeah, well then go to better...
This was the scariest Sandra's comedy issue of all time. With
it. Come on, Sandra, give us a scarier movie before this.
What was that Jack Black one you did? Oh, wait, you mean a scary... A scarier comedy before the
That their tagline isn't the scariest movie ever.
This is that that's ever, ever going out. To be right.
The scariest comedy before that. Well, but it would be Casino Royale then, because that was fucking terrible.
Yeah, that was frightening from a writing perspective. I was terrified.
Yeah.
Oh fuck me! Yeah,
that was bad.
That movie made me feel sick.
Before we move on, it's a disservice to the listeners if we don't discuss the drinks.
The drinks at the table? Yeah, we can do that.
So, Andrew, would you like to say what you're drinking?
I've got a Coca-Cola Zero Sugar.
But it's tiny.
But it's a tiny can.
It's a
tiny little work can.
It's the smallest can you've ever seen.
It's small. Efficient.
He's ready for business.
It's just what I had.
He's not here to party. He's here for business.
That's right. My small Coke. Meanwhile, Jacob, on the other hand...
I'm the opposite. The biggest bottle you've ever seen.
Yeah, he's got the Maximus Red. He's gonna kick your fucking ass because he's got a giant fucking bottle of energy.
How much more liquid is it than yours, Sandra?
Mine is 250. What's yours?
Yeah, I've got four Sandros.
and then... I've got a glass skull mug that I raided from Sandro's pantry so I could drink his pod coffee.
Yes.
From his pod machine.
I don't drink it, so you're the one who has it.
I come in and drink it, and I already pounded down the coffee, and I will need another one at some point.
Now, with that context, people can actually enjoy. Now that out of the way,
here we go.
Now they can enjoy the listening experience of the podcast.
I could hear them before what the fuck are they drinking? We don't know, they haven't seen what they're drinking.
I need more context.
Thank you, Jacob.
There we go.
And of course, I should say we're in a really nice, professional studio in Docklands.
In Docklands. We are in Docklands,
In our blimp.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Sally McSeller, and as an American, I love when horror franchises come to my hometown of New York City. And oh boy, is that what the Friday the 13th franchise did? Yes, yes it is. In Jason Takes Manhattan, which is number 8, and Sandro and Zach from Oldie But a Goodie have gone and bloody reviewed it. Why did I say bloody? I'm an American. Anyway, here's a clip for your ear holes. They all escape the boat. They get in a life raft. They go to New York. And Jason, he follows them the whole way. Now, Zach, do you think that Jason swam or did he walk across the bottom of the ocean like Pirates of the Caribbean?
I imagine he had like a boat above him and he's doing the exact scene from Pirates of the Caribbean where he like walked on the water but with a boat for oxygen
on top of him. Yes. While Jason doesn't spend that much time in New York in the movie Jason Takes Manhattan, I do have to say that there is some good New York action in there, and the boys really did a damn good job reviewing it. And you can get that episode over at patreon.com/oldiebutagoodiepod with one bonus episode a month and all the ad-free episodes of the main show that you can swing your American-loving hat at. That's right. I'm an American, and I'm from New York. Lore drop. Woohoo! All right, let's get into the bonus battle.
Bonus battle.
Sleep paralysis demon.
Oh my god, it's DJ paralysis demon.
On the set.
How the bonus battle works is we got a whole bunch of categories.
Yep.
We got to come
expertly
up...
expertly crafted.
Yes, that we definitely aren't going to come up with on the spot.
Yep.
And a couple that we randomly wrote down 3 minutes before pressing record.
Hell yeah.
We've got to come up with ratings for these. Now, we could either all come up with a consensus of a rating out of 10, or we could each have our own rating. It changes every episode.
Yeah,
so
every
what do you want to
do,
Jacob?
Battle.
I feel like because you are more Blazing Saddles than Frankenstein, maybe we should have separate ratings.
I hear, that's valid. An idea could be we have consensus, but if we don't have consensus, then the other person is just a real mad salty. They're like, no.
That can happen. That can happen.
We could do that. That sounds like what we did on the Shrek episode. So yeah, we can definitely
I don't know what you guys are talking about. I've never been salty once in my fucking life.
Cool. We
these
can
don't
do
go
that.
Into ratings. There's no like spreadsheet for these.
Not really, no.
Yeah, then okay, let's stop.
Yeah.
You want 20 minutes of this podcast dedicated to us yelling at each other about the fucking Shrek movies? Let's fucking go.
Believe it or not, Zach, I'm actually over
the Shrek.
I think you were having some serious...
My favorite thing about the Shrek episode was we went into Jack's house and we just sat down at Jack's family table, just swore at each other for 2 hours.
It was great. I liked that when we went into it, it was like three of you were like, yeah, we like the first one better. We're on that one side. And I'm like, well, I guess I'll go the second one then. I liked them both kind of equally. And now I'm stuck here on this side of the fucking fence. And
that was a funny episode. All right. Bonus battle. We've got to come up with a consensus for each movie. So we'll start off with Blazing Saddles with the first category, which is comedy. We're going to rate it out of 10, with 10 being the donkey doing coke and OD in Bachelor Party. And
the peak of comedy.
Yeah. And 1 being the rest of that movie. If you haven't heard it...
Oh, shit.
What episode number is that?
You're right.
I think
holy
it's episode
shit.
Number 80-something. Check out our Bachelor Party episode.
I was mad at you until you said the rest of that movie is the one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck me.
All right. Okay. Blazing Saddles, comedy. In terms of jokes, I mean, there's a lot in Blazing Saddles.
Mm.
Would you say that when it doesn't work, how hard does it flop when it flops, Jacob?
I really agree with Zach. It doesn't matter because it's a joke.
Yeah,
like
I was gonna say it doesn't actually matter too much, because you get one bad joke and it's a shitty joke, but then the next joke just smashes into you before you have time to be like, wait, that joke sucked ass, you know, and then you're moving on. You're just you're on with your life.
For sure. Mm-hmm. What are some highlight jokes then that we have from Blazing Saddles? One of my favorites straight off the bat is that they have like a riff off, like a Pitch Perfect a cappella song off at each other, singing different songs. That just a great.
I did like that. Although the white people sucked at singing, just gonna say, you know, they were
that was the point though.
Yeah, I'm gonna say it. They were shit.
I love the literal fourth wall breaking.
Mm. Mm.
Like, because I think, look, I'm not a historian. So all these movies are being filmed on sets, and I don't think anybody else was really just being like, guys, it's a set. It's a set.
Yeah.
And I imagine this is one of the first, or the first movie to really just like break that.
I think so.
Mm.
It definitely movie. Like, Looney Tunes stuff, probably, you know, that all takes place on the lot or whatever.
I mean,
you know
they literally have a Looney Tunes joke where he gives a guy a bomb and then they play the Looney Tunes music while he runs away so it can explode.
That was fantastic.
And then the other jokes that I love is the hangman being so busy. Like, oh, I can't slot him in. Which is...
That's a good one.
That's just good, old-fashioned.
Yeah.
That was really good.
I liked how, as the movie progressed, it slowly got more fourth wall breaking.
Yes.
Until it sort of crescendoed with the end of the film, where they just, like, crashed into another movie set.
Yeah,
and
it
just exploded into, what the fuck is going on? And then they went and saw their own movie while they're in the movie. And it was wild. I was like, very Casino Royale, because it's really fucking, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
I think it did better than Casino.
It definitely did better than Casino Royale.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, like, the ending of Blazing Saddles is, yeah, they break out of the movie, they go into the set of another movie, but then, like, all of the characters know that they're in a movie, so they go and see their own movie, but then they're back in the movie, and then the movie ends. I don't know what the rules are. I want to know what the... Because when you break the fourth wall nowadays, there needs to be a rule. Deadpool knows he's in a movie, no one else does. He knows who plays him, but Deadpool as a character is a character. He's not Ryan Reynolds playing Deadpool. Mm-hmm. Whereas in this, it was like... Are the actors playing characters? What's going on?
I think it was the actors playing characters. Mostly because, who plays the villain in that one?
Who does play the villain? Yeah, Mel Brooks plays the governor.
Yeah.
The bad guy himself is Harvey Korman.
Harvey Korman. Yeah.
And is he in Mary Poppins? Is he the dad in Mary Poppins?
I don't think...
You know when he goes... At 6 p.m. Yeah. I walked through my doorway. That guy.
I don't think so.
I remember he makes a joke at some point that he's sacrificing his, like, Golden Globe Best Supporting Actor or something by being here or something.
Yeah, that's right.
And I liked that one. And that's when it was, like, starting to break the fourth wall a bit. Like, the walls were crumbling.
It starts off, there is that moment, I think, as soon as... Sheriff Bart becomes the sheriff. He, like, rides into the orchestra doing the soundtrack for the movie. There's, like, small stuff like that, but they don't really break the fourth wall properly until the end. I do like how many, like, modern references there are. Like, straight at the start of the movie, like, one guy comes in and he's like, "What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?" Just, like, weird stuff like that. Just, like, really specifically 70s references.
Where they gather up all the bad guys, and they've got literally any bad... They've got bikers, they've got Nazis, they've got, you know, KKK members. They've just got, like, everyone there, you know.
Yes.
And bikers don't make any sense, but they've just got handlebars on their horses. it's very silly.
It is good. Other good jokes. Everyone in the town is called Johnson. All their last names are John. Are they all related? What's going on there? I don't know.
I think the joke's that they're inbred.
Yeah. I think that's the joke. Which is very funny. Mel Brooks in this movie. Did you like him in this one, Jacob?
Yeah.
He plays the governor. He plays the Native American chief for a couple seconds.
Yeah. So look, that chief thing, I think... wouldn't be in there now for good reason. But I hear what you're saying. Like, it is funny that they're speaking Yiddish. They should have had another actor speaking Yiddish.
Yeah.
But look, I do like the whole thing of the governor sleeping with his secretary overplayed. I think that's funny.
Yeah, I really do.
I think he pulled off that whole.
I think so. Well, like, it's such a cliche joke, but he brings so much energy.
With so much cliche. Yeah.
I feel like he's also, like, making fun of the joke itself.
I think so. Know? Yeah, no, definitely. He is great. I thought that there's a random moment when they're on the Warner Brothers lot, they're in a cafeteria and some guy is dressed up as Hitler. I thought that was Mel Brooks, but it wasn't. That's the only role where I was like, is that Mel Brooks? And it turned out to not be him. But he's like 6-7 characters in this movie. He's in it a lot. I love how many like Exodus references there are in this as well. Like all of the Egyptian references. And then it gets to the point where I think they're about to make another one and one of the characters is like, no, stop. This is getting too Jewish.
Yeah.
Which was funny.
Oh, dear.
I reckon it's pretty high up in the joke thing. Are there any jokes that stick out to you as not being funny?
I would say the fart joke, but I can't say that because that's the joke that made me break. So,
I totally can't remember them. They just...
They're gone, so maybe that is...
only one... The German singer is... But that's funny.
And it comes back because then she's talking with the Nazis.
Yeah.
She's like calming them down because she speaks German.
Yeah.
So there's something there. I don't know what's happening. I did find it very funny that her song was just about how fucking tired she was of this fucking shit.
I like her song, but Yeah.
Her whole thing.
Not the funniest part, but not like unfunny.
Where she seduces the guy.
Yeah.
That's very cliche, and they didn't really do anything with that, I feel.
The joke there is that he's got a big dick.
Yeah.
That's the joke.
And I'm saying they didn't do anything creative there with that one.
No, that one is.
They didn't do themselves any favors.
I think a lot of the race-related jokes in this, I can be like, it's fine that, you know, a Mel Brook movie is doing this because Richard Pryor was a writer. You know, it's fine that, all of this racism's in the movie. But that was a white person joke, and yeah, I don't know if that one's a good one.
I think there's that, like, who's the, like, big guy who, like, breaks the chains and they have to blow up to knock him out?
Or yeah, Mongo. That was the one I was going to say hasn't aged well.
Yeah, Mongo. Yeah. There was one joke where they made, like, a gay joke about him where he liked the other guy or whatever it was, and he's like, oh, I'm not gay, you know.
Yeah.
I was like, eh.
My problem with Mongo was how ableist his whole character was.
Yeah.
But that, yeah, for sure.
Maybe it's the point of, like, in the same way that, like, it's not necessarily racist, it's like looking at racism. Mm.
You know,
I think that's kind of saying, like, back in the day they did have asylums.
They
didn't treat people very well.
Yeah.
But yeah, and I agree. I would have done it a bit more tactfully.
A little bit myself. More. But also, they do become friends with him at the end of the movie, so I think it's fine. You know, like, he's not, you know, it's not as bad as the guy that they have chained up in the Goonies. You know what I mean?
They make a joke and we just move on. So we don't have to worry about the problematic parts of this film. We can just concentrate on the funny ones.
It's true. I liked how many horse-related jokes there were in this. They get to a point about halfway through the movie where everyone's just punching horses and the horses are all, like, fake horses.
Yeah.
There's a part where, like, they blow up the town and, like, a toy horse goes flying in the air.
Yeah, that was funny.
That was all really good.
I like at the very end, they just full-on ditch the horses and just hop in a car to drive away.
That was good.
Oh dear. I'm throwing around an 8.
Sandra's high.
Yeah.
I'm going to say 8.5, and that's because Sandra says that the bachelor party is a 1. So maybe I should be like,
no. But the donkey scene is a 10 though.
Yeah. That was a pretty funny scene.
If you
the donkey sniffs up with a
it's a dumb Tom Hanks party comedy that's not worth watching, but there's a scene in it. It's a scene in it that broke us, where a donkey snorts cocaine and then just dies in this party, and everyone's happy.
Fucking Christ!
It's very funny. I think we laughed for like 20 minutes.
We're still laughing. It's still that funny. Good.
Like 4 years on.
Fucking stupid film. I'll do an 8.5.
Yep, I think 8.5 is good.
Yeah,
8.5.
Yeah, yeah. Boom.
8.5.
Slotted down for an 8.5.
All right, that means moving on to Young Frankenstein for some jokes. Well, we have already said that Igor is 50-50 across the board.
Like his humps. Just, you know, 50-50.
Well, yeah, he was my thick because there's a scene. It is Mel Brooks, so he does put in inconsistent props and scenery constantly throughout the movies. It's on purpose a lot of the time. So the fact that his hump moves based on what scene we're in is probably just that. But
well,
there is
he does literally point out that the hump moved.
Yes.
He goes, wasn't the hump on the other side at one point? You know?
Which led me to think that there were two Igors, because there's a scene
where he's...
up, I think it's just after they've electrified Frankenstein.
Yep.
He's on the roof, he's looking down, and then he teleports down to Gene Wilder. And I was like, well, there's two of him there.
Yeah. Absolutely. The theory that there's two of them, I was going to bring up. I was going to be like, there's got to be two of them running around.
But they never do anything with that.
Besides be sexist.
But yes, shout out jokes from Young Frankenstein, Jacob. What was some stuff?
It was so funny when he like points to the brain and is like, this brain.
And then he drops it. It was like, that really felt like a stage show. Like that's what I would do in my sketch show. I'm like, you can imagine like a modern clowning show where they're really like, ooh. I don't know, it's just, like, a bad joke.
Yeah.
Like,
it wasn't nearly funny enough to be like, ooh.
Well, would it surprise you to know that there is a musical by Mel Brooks based off the movie?
Whoa,
2007. There you go. Yeah, I've heard some songs from it, and it's pretty good actually. Oh, it's a pretty good musical.
There you go.
But yeah, I almost wish that the movie was the musical.
Yeah.
I think that would have just have like some extra songs in here stuff and stuff like that.
I think that would have been good because they still have most of the same actors.
Yep.
They still have most of the same singing voice.
Yep.
So.
Yep. I think Young Frankenstein isn't necessarily funnier than Blazing Saddles, but Gene Wilder gets to do a lot more.
Yeah, and I really like Gene Wilder.
He is, I mean, he's obviously iconic as Willy Wonka, but he is just a hilarious actor. Just him just doing so many jokes in this was great.
I liked the fiance just not letting him touch her.
That was very funny.
That was a good start.
That was a good one.
He just repeatedly tried mm-hmm. and eventually they just elbow bump and fuck off. They're definitely not ending up together at the end of the film.
Yeah, like the COVID elbow bump.
Yeah.
I liked, there's a joke early on where they rock up to the castle and Igor goes to knock on the door and there's these like massive rings that you use to knock it. And Gene Wilder, he's picking up this German girl who's the random love interest in the movie.
The love interest is throwing herself at Gene Wilder, just literally at every opportunity.
And he's like picking her up. She's wearing a dress with a lot of cleavage. And he's mostly looking at her, but then he looks at the door and says, "What? Knockers?" I don't know why. I thought that was... It's a lazy joke, but it's very funny.
And then also when she's like rolling in the hay... Yeah. I thought I was in for a great movie when I saw that day.
That's literally her introduction, is he throws his luggage onto a hay bale in a cart, and she goes, "Ow!" And he looks over, and it's like, "Care to roll in the hay with me?" And it's like, "Whoa!" And then she's like, literally rolling around in the hay.
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
That was good. The joke where he's constantly telling people that his name is Frankenstein. Because he's so very ashamed dumb. Of his past, like, of who he's related to.
Until he finally embraces it. I am Frankenstein!
That was good.
Yeah.
There's the joke where whenever you say the housekeeper's name, random horses start to go crazy.
Yeah.
That's pretty great.
That was good. I think my favorite joke in the movie was, there's a part where they are drawing the ideal person they want to put a body in and reanimate.
They
put the drawing of that, like, on some sort of hook, and it's swinging from side to side, and then that transitions to someone hanging from a noose or so swinging from side.
That was a good transition.
That was great.
I don't know about comedy, but it was just a good transition.
I find people hanging very funny.
And the joke that that Igor thought the guy's name was Abby.
Hey, look, Brooks over here, he does great hangman jokes, apparently, you know?
Yeah.
Get this man a gallows, you know? He's hilarious.
He does good hangman jokes. He also does a lot of ableist jokes, because when Frankenstein starts to talk, again, they do a musical sequence, and it's funny.
Oh, yeah,
They do put it on the Ritz, but every time it cuts to Frankenstein, like, the monster, I should say.
Yeah.
I'm just like, is this feels ableist, and I don't know if it is, but it feels like it is.
I'm going to interpret it as not, so I could enjoy the comedy of it.
Fair.
But yeah, I can see what you mean.
Yeah. I was like, I don't know.
I just thought it was like, they got the Frankenstein monster. What's something stupid we can do with him that would make no sense? Oh yeah, he just does a Broadway musical. That's how they, you know, get him out to the public. But of course it all goes wrong. I liked the one where he talks with the girl and the parents are like, "Oh my God, where's the girl? Where's the girl?" And then he's talking with the girl and like sits down on the seesaw and she flies through the fucking window of the house to go back into her bed just as the parents go and check it. It's like, oh, she's here. Everything's fine.
Yeah, I need more jokes like that.
Yeah.
That was a funny one. Well, because that's a scene directly from the original, except they just add jokes into it, basically. Because like the scene where Frank with the monster is like, "Little girl, I won't attack you. It's flowers, nice."
Yep.
You know, that's in the
and
original.
And then when his fiance shows up, he like, you know, it's like, "Oh, let's go back to the bedroom." She's like, "Oh my." And then he goes to pick up his luggage and Igor comes in like, "Hey, you want to go back and bang or whatever?" I was just like, what is going on in this fucking...
For sure. What?
And she's like, "Oh my." I'm like, "Wait, are they going to bang? Is this suddenly like..." Well, it turns out...
That's the thing with this movie is, you know, Blazing Saddles has a lot of stuff in it that doesn't age well. But a lot of it is like, well, they're being racist to point out racism, is that sort of thing. In Young Frankenstein, there is an assault scene, and there's no reason for it. It's just an assault scene.
But it's funny because he has a giant wang.
Yep.
Huge dick.
And that's, I think that knocks a couple
points. Yeah, that's fair. That one was a bit rough. Yeah.
I didn't like that. He turns her into Bride of Frankenstein, so that's a reference to the sequel from the 30s, I guess. But it's not a good setup to that joke.
No, but it's extra funny because they talk about it right at the end. It's like, well, you swapped brains with Frankenstein. What did you get out of it? Implying that he got a giant wang, Sandro.
Yes.
Isn't that comedy genius,
Mel Brooks is just obsessed with...
Oh, that was pretty bad. That was pretty bad. I'll give you that one.
And that's how they end the movie. That's like the closer.
that's the finishing one. It's like, he has a giant penis. And I'm like, ooh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I definitely think this could have benefited from more jokes.
Yeah, maybe.
To hide the shitty ones.
I reckon... Well, Blazing Saddles 8.5.
And I did like... what was it? The captain with his... The prosthetic arm. Like, he was riling up all the villages and stuff.
The robotic, but not robotic arm. Yeah, he was good. Guy.
I liked the actor who played him.
He was really good. That was Kenneth Mars, who... Is an he plays the Nazi in The Producers. He plays the guy who wrote the awful play about it. He is very funny. I like him in a lot of things. He was good. I liked when they used him as a battering ram. That was very funny.
I was gonna say that too. Using a person as a battering ram, another thing.
Always funny. Correct.
Any other jokes we can think of? I think that's probably everything. Oh, there's the blind guy. That was kind of funny.
Oh, yeah. But you're talking about ableism just before, so I didn't want to bring it up. I'm like, oh, no, is that problematic now? Fuck.
I don't know.
But I thought it was pretty funny when he's pouring hot soup onto Frankenstein's lap for no reason.
It was fun. Like, I didn't love that scene, but the initial joke that probably got it into this, which is like, please God, give me company, and then there's a knock on the door.
Yeah, that's good.
That was good. And that was Gene Hackman, who is Lex Luthor in the original Superman movies.
Whoa,
I had no idea it was him until his name like showed up in the credits. I was like, oh, wait,
he was quite hairy in this film. Which is the antithesis of Lex Luthor.
I reckon like maybe a 7, 6.5. There's definitely...
I'll throw a 7.
Yeah.
It's, will Jacob give me the 7 on this one?
Well, that's what I'm saying. You compromised for me before.
These aren't
really being tallied, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I am writing them down and there will be a final score at the end, but outside of that, no one really...
I don't mind. This isn't Shrek.
It's true.
No,
Shrek was like my family.
Shrek was the most important one. All right, I reckon the next... We've talked about the comedy and the jokes themselves, but these are both parody movies. The next category is, how true is this to the genre that it is parodying? How good of a parody is this? Starting with Blazing Saddles, it's a pretty good parody of Westerns.
Yeah. It's like, hey, Western people were fucking racist.
Yeah.
Lol. It's a good time.
Yeah. I think they could have done more because the thing with Westerns as a genre at this time was they were racist, particularly towards Native Americans, because they were like, the scary Indian's going to come through and they're doing their chants or whatever, they're going to spear you or whatever. And this movie, yes, it tackles racism against African Americans, but it doesn't bother tackling racism against...
If anything, it is racist.
Yeah, it is racist.
That's a good point, Sandra.
I think that's the issue with Blazing Saddles. But outside of that, as far as Western parodies go, it is a pretty good parody of Westerns, particularly when they're like, "We gotta head them off at the pass," and like, what's his name's like, "I'm so sick of that cliche." It's in every single one of these.
That's why I liked the song the showgirl sings. Is she's so fucking fed up with singing and doing this fucking job.
She's also just bad.
Yeah. She just makes fun of the whole thing, which I found very funny.
I agree, yeah.
I'm going to say something that's never been said on this podcast before.
Shit. Oh my God, what is
anyone
it?
Ever. I am too ignorant to have an opinion.
Have you seen many westerns?
Never stopped anyone.
Yeah, I'm ignorant, but I just blaze on forward. No,
you guys are now actually quite knowledgeable about movies. That was more
this
about
is the first movie I've ever seen.
That was more me about me. I've seen one western, like The Fantastic Seven or something.
Oh yeah.
But like when I was like 10.
What's that one where Terry Crews plays the piano with his dick?
Not the fucking the Adam Sandler western.
Yeah, the Adam Sandler one.
I don't even remember what that's called. I think I saw the first 10 minutes.
It was something to do with eight. It was like Crazy Eight or something.
The Ridiculous Six.
Oh, Six. Other direction.
Well, because it came out the same year as Tarantino's Hateful Eight. So.
Oh, there you go. That's what I'm confusing it with. Fucking hell.
That was a terrible one. That was a Rob Schneider film, too.
Yeah, that one was...
We love Rob Schneider.
That one was bad.
Yeah.
It was Adam Sandler, so I had to watch it, you know. Yeah.
We'll definitely do that one on the podcast at some point.
Oh, no. Fuck no. Oh, God.
Yeah. I think, like, westerns are a genre that if you were... double all our age, you're into them.
Yeah.
But Zach and I have just watched a lot of westerns because of the podcast.
Yeah.
We're not really western guys, really.
They were the superhero movies before the cop shows, before the Marvel movies. Yeah. You know, they were the thing of their time. So they were pretty easy pickings
for
movies and TV shows to make fun of and other things.
Yeah.
Because we watched Sundance Kid.
Yep.
Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
That was excellent.
That was a really good, highly recommend.
It's the only good western we've done in the podcast.
It's the only good western. So, full stop, only good western. So, if you ever check out a western, that one.
Watch that one.
And if you go by that one, I don't know if it makes a good fun of western specifically.
Wilder's character is a pretty good parody of the cliche of the Sundance Kid being a good shot.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. He's just a good shot, but he's like unbelievably fast. Like,
which is very funny. It is very funny. I think I'm gonna give it maybe like a 6. I don't think Blazing Saddles is necessarily a parody of westerns. I think it's a parody of racism in movies. Then takes place during a western time. I don't know.
I think it's just a very good, playful movie that pokes fun at things. Not necessarily cowboy movies, although it does a pretty decent job at poking fun at the genre.
It's not too bad.
It's not the be-all and end-all of parody movies.
No.
So is this category in this battle so that young Frankenstein can have a leg up?
Shut up.
Why don't we just say that?
Shut up, Jacob.
Just admit it.
Fuck you. Sorry, what was that, Mr. Person who didn't have an opinion?
Sandro's editing me.
That is what it sounds like when I edit people.
Sorry, I'm pretty sure I heard earlier that you didn't have an opinion on this, Jacob, so how about you leave it at that, huh?
Correct.
I think this movie gets a 6.
I'll say a 6.5.
Yeah, that's fine.
I'll bump it
up. What about a 9.9?
Yeah, fuck you.
Because Jacob said 9.5, I'll bump it up to 7, I guess. Because it's like in the middle of all
I'm
of
back
us.
To 6. Fuck
so
you.
7. Young Frankenstein... It's a pretty good parody of the genre.
Someone who's seen the original movie that it's parodying, unlike some people on this podcast.
I wouldn't say it's a good...
I'm giving this a 10.
I wouldn't say it's a good parody of old monster movies. It is, but what it is better at is recreating old monster movies.
Yeah.
Not necessarily being a pack, because like I would say, Spaceballs is a good parody of Star Wars.
Yeah.
Because it's jokes directly about Star Wars.
Yeah,
whereas,
it's poking fun at Star Wars itself.
Whereas Young Frankenstein is a recreation of Frankenstein with jokes in it.
Yeah. That's fair. I did like the whole, he didn't want to be Frankenstein, but he sort of became it throughout.
That was funny.
And like, he just goes step by step doing the exact things that the previous Frankenstein done, even though for some reason he doesn't want to be associated. The one thing that bugs me throughout both of these films that they don't address is the fact that he has the ability to bring the dead to life.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Literally God mode on this. And no one cares about that. They're like, oh no, it's a monster. Quick, kill a monster. No one goes over, hey, this guy can bring people back. Maybe we could bring some, like, important people back, or, like, you know, someone's just died on the operating table, right?
But yeah.
His heart's just stopped. Get old Frankenstein in and bring him back, like, the implications of this, you know?
Zach, please bring this plot hole logic to Blazing But I agree, that's a good point.
That is a good point.
They should have addressed that with one sentence.
Yeah.
I reckon it's pretty true to the genre, though, to keep the speedy, because Jacob's already ruined this category by revealing our plan.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's like a 9. It's pretty close.
I'd say an 8.
Yeah.
I'll check it down an 8.
I'll go 8.5.
So now the movies are equal.
They're now equal.
Yeah.
All right, Jacob, you need to explain this next category because it's your one.
This is true.
So I'll wait for you to finish taking a big old gulp of your drink.
Oh, he's glugging.
Oh, he's going real hard on that one. That's a lot of red drink as well.
Yeah. He's getting his energy ready for this. He's about to show you how it's done, Sandro. This is how you make a category.
I'm well hydrated.
Not some shitty category to boost up the movie that I wanted to be boosted up. You know, this is a proper category.
All right, Jacob, please explain the next category, that is Adam Sandler jokes.
Okay, sure. So, I've been listening to a podcast called Worst Idea of All Time.
Yep.
Lots of listeners, there'll be, I'm sure, overlap.
Yep.
Where they watch Grown Ups 2 52 times. So I watched Grown Up 2 for that.
Yep.
Didn't even watch it for this podcast. I watched it for a podcast.
Yep. I have seen Grown Ups 2 on a cruise. It was a fun time.
Nice.
Back in the day, Sandler just made good movies. But now he makes such shitty movies that he can't afford to not just put in heaps of jokes in there. Because otherwise people will be like, this tax write-off is so obvious.
Yeah.
So that, like, I kind of feel like Blazing Saddles is like a precursor to that. Just like jokes where they're not good jokes, but like, if you want to have 100 jokes in 10 minutes, you can do 3 good jokes or like 100 bad jokes.
Yeah, that's
what I was saying when I was saying like the category of just this like rapid fire.
Yeah.
Like the movie Aeroplane is just Adam Sandler style jokes.
Yeah. It is, except they're all, they're like, Airplane's consistently pretty funny. For the most part, I think.
Look, I don't,
yeah.
But yeah. No, yeah, I know what you mean. Well,
that makes sense.
But that's the same thing with, not to bring it back to Bachelor Party again, but what we said for that movie was there were so many jokes in that movie that the fact that the donkey one was so funny made it stand out among all the other jokes.
Because
when you have a movie that's 100 jokes every 10 minutes and one's good, it's really good.
Yeah.
That's usually the style.
That's the thing, right? And I think Adam Sandler could make good movies if he really tried.
Oh, he has.
I think he's a genius at doing these shitty fucking tax write-offs and just showing up. He's like, oh yeah, let me write this in. All right, super hot babe is my fucking girlfriend love interest. And we have bang at the end of the film.
And there's literal stories about whether, like, where should you do a movie? And it's like, he just goes where he wants to go on holiday. Like,
Let's do it in Hawaii. And we need an expensive yacht for this scene.
Yeah.
And we need, you know, to be in this 5-star hotel for this scene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no, people are being mean to me. I'm going to do a good drama.
Whoa.
Back to the shitty comedy, let's go.
Whoa. Take that, critics.
Yeah. I actually said that with Blazing Saddles when I was watching it. I said, the jokes that are in Blazing Saddles that hit are funnier than every joke in Young Frankenstein, but maybe less hit, like, because there's so many in Blazing Saddles, less seem to hit when compared to Young Frankenstein, but that's only because there's less jokes in Young Frankenstein. That's maybe like 10 jokes every 10 minutes, I would say, for Frankenstein, you know?
Right here.
Well, what would you rate Blazing Saddles category?
But I think you raise a really good point. I think they are pretty equal, because yes, Blazing Saddles has way more, but the ratio of hits to misses, I actually think is quite similar. So if I'm going to tweak my category, because Blazing Saddles had more, but like, the quality of the experience, Blazing Saddles is great. I would give it, what do you give it? Between 6 and 8.
Between 6 and 8?
Yeah. I'll throw it as an 8. I'll throw it out there. I'm supposed to be the guy for the other side for some reason, but like, I liked Blazing Saddles. And I think for the Adam Sandler category, it's got to be an 8, surely.
An 8?
It's got to be an 8.
I'm going to bring it down to 7.5 by saying it's a 7.
Wow. That wouldn't be his
there
wrong.
We go. And I famously hate point
that
fives.
That would be a 7.33.
It would be.
You got 2 8s and a 7. It's not 7.5.
You're right, actually. But I'm going 6.5.
Fucking.
Give it a 6.5. Be a man.
Yeah, you fucking coward.
But for Frankenstein, I would go 6.5, maybe? Yeah.
And pretty that's equal. An interesting point. I think in an ideal world, you would have the Frankenstein movie where you just have the good jokes and they're really good and they hit hard and you could contemplate them. And you don't have to throw in a million fucking jokes in between to just keep your millennial brain intact attentive, you know. But I think you're right that the Adam Sandler way of just throwing a bajillion jokes, it works, you know?
It does work.
It keeps it going, it keeps it flowing. Whereas Frankenstein, the bad jokes hit a lot worse.
Yes.
They hurt a lot more because there's a lot more airtime between them.
Yeah. But also Frankenstein doesn't... Your enjoyment of Frankenstein doesn't depend on the jokes, though, I think.
No.
Yeah.
There's also
the jokes are an extra for Frankenstein.
The plot as well.
But for this particular category, I think Frankenstein does get lower. So I'd go 6.5, honestly.
For the Adam Sandler category.
Yeah.
Is the category that we are throwing jokes in? Because I feel like it should be lower then, right?
Well, I think it's the quality of those. Like, I get it's very similar to humor.
Mm. So right. The quality of,
it's more of a subcategory.
Yeah.
Which we could use to adjust our humor category.
I like it.
But
it's
the quality of the. In the same way that you could have, like, you know, quality of the character comedy.
Mm.
I'm saying quality of these little jokes. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll give it a 6 then. I'll chuck a 6 on there. Slap right. that bub.
We'll go for a 6 out of 10 then for that one. The next category, you know, usually we do acting or characters, but these two movies starred a certain someone, you know, maybe best known for Willy Wonka, but he's also in a lot of Mel Brooks movies, Gene Wilder, rest in peace. And he, as an actor, is well known for yelling a lot. So this next category is Gene Wilder yelling. Wow.
I love him. He's great. I can't stop staring into his eyes when he's on screen.
Mm.
He's got powerful, piercing eyes.
He's a very magnetic force on the screen. Blazing Saddles, Gene Wilder's performance, Jacob, did you like him in that one? Did you think it was funny?
Yeah, I don't remember much yelling. Does he yell?
Not really in Blazing Saddles, actually.
Blazing Saddles.
Okay, so 0.
Yeah. He's not much of a yeller, but he has a presence. I like that he's the sort of cowboy, you know, blazing with the quick fire, but he's also like, oh yeah, I got shot in the ass by a kid and I'm done. I'm sick of this shit. I'm too old for this shit.
Yeah.
He got washed up because of a kid shooting him in the ass.
Yeah, that was good. I think Gene Wilder is pretty good in Blazing Saddles, but yeah, he doesn't really Gene Wild it up that much.
No. I'm going to give it a 5.
What do you think, Jacob?
So are we saying for the yelling or for his performance?
The category is yelling, but I guess it's just his performance.
So you're giving his performance a 5?
Maybe.
No, I'm giving his yelling a 5.
Okay. Yeah. Well, then we can go specifically for his yelling.
Well, that's the name of the category, Sandra.
The question is, the next category going to be like an obvious up for Blazing Saddles?
No, Blazing Saddles. Saddles. We're going to make it the worst.
Actually, no, it kind of is, actually.
Okay, yeah,
God fucking damn it.
Bloody 4.
A 4? Alright, Blazing Saddles gets a 4 out of 10.
Shit me. What is this fucking bonus battle?
This is a weird bonus battle. The Frankenstein, he yells a lot in that one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it's unfair. I think this is an unfair category because he's the main character in this one. Whereas in Blazing Saddles, I'd say he's like... Oh, maybe not quite a side character, but he is sort of a side character to the main character.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
He's one of the main characters, not the main character.
Not the main character, for sure. Whereas, yeah, in Young Frankenstein, he is the main character, and he is eccentric as all hell in that movie. He's loud, he's yelling, he's always telling people how to pronounce his name, but then he switches, and when he switches, he yells that he wants his name to be Frankenstein as well. He is yelling a lot. He's a good... mad scientist sort of character.
Yeah,
thing.
Oh, I loved it when he went full mad scientist. You know, I'm Frankenstein.
Yeah,
he's alive. I think he does a better Frankenstein than the original Frankenstein.
I would agree.
Throw that out there.
I would agree.
I think maybe that's why I liked this film a lot.
Well, I mean, also actors in the 30s were just stage actors and were more for, you know.
It's unfair on them, but fuck them. Should have acted better,
They should have been better.
Yeah, should have been Marlon Brando invented screen acting.
Should have just immediately been good at adapting to cinematic performances.
Yeah. So it's an easy 9 out of 10 there for Frankenstein.
That's what I was going to say.
Jay, are we even?
I think we're probably even now. The next category is music.
Oh, shit.
Good job. Good job.
That's fair.
Music for Blazing Saddles. Well, there are original songs by Mel Brooks in Blazing Saddles. Even, like, the title song isn't funny, but it's a good, like, Western song. You know what I mean?
I was going to mention this. This would be a shit category. I did like the fonts on both the films.
The fonts work. Well, we could always have that as a bonus category.
We used to talk about the fonts a lot for films, but these two particularly had some quite interesting. You got the big, bold, like, tattered font for Blazing Saddles, you know?
Which was good.
And then you've got that cryptic, straight lined, bold font for the Frankenstein. I liked both of those.
That's an easy 10 out of 10 for both fonts. Shit. Then fonts gets it because a 10 out of 10 on both accounts.
That didn't help the situation at all.
I love the musical exposition in Blazing Saddles.
Yeah.
Where they use a song to explain. That was so cool.
Yeah. What scene was that for? That was for the scene where they first attacked the town, isn't it?
No, early on.
Early on?
So we see, like, them building the railroads.
Yeah.
And then we might then see the town. It's when they're introducing the town.
Yeah.
And they just say what's going on.
Yeah.
It's good. I like a good musical. I like the music.
Oh, I'm saying when they're attacking the town the first time.
No, I think that is, when they're introducing the town, it's that long song that's, like, just exposition,
And then, like, the bandits come or something.
Yeah. That's how they should do exposition in every movie. They just sing it at you.
Yeah, next time my sleep paralysis demon and Andre's exposition.
Oh, fuck. No, thank you.
Yeah.
But yeah, I wish Frankenstein had more music in it. Because that would have been fun. Frankenstein is like a comedy musical. Because they did have him up on stage at one point dancing and singing. I thought that was quite fun. I liked that. That was funny. Sure. But they definitely didn't have nearly enough. And I did say in Blazing Saddles, I liked the performance of the lady. Although it was bad, but that was like deliberate.
Oh, right? It's bad on purpose.
She's just like, I'm fucking fed up. Fuck you.
Yes.
I'm done with this job. I don't want to do anything anymore.
Yeah.
And they're like, woo, yeah. I'm like, oh, god damn it. It was great.
Yeah. I think, Blazing Saddles is like, all of the songs on that are really good. Pretty high up, I reckon. Pretty high up. Even the soundtrack is really, really fun. Very exciting. Pretty high. Maybe like a 9.
I'll give you a 9 for that one. I can't deny it.
But yeah, for Frankenstein, it's probably pretty low. I mean, unless we're counting the songs from the musical, and there is.
Oh, wow.
Yes,
of course we are. What do you mean? Of course we're.
That's right.
No,
we're looking at the movie.
I'm putting my foot down.
The music.
My integrity will not stand for us putting the songs from the fucking musical.
The only one
unless
I've heard.
Really good. I mean,
the only one I've heard is the Roll in the Hay song, which is an extended song about rolling in the hay. That's the only one I've heard.
I'll give it a 10 for the Rolling in the Hay song that I haven't heard. And I'll give it a 6, maybe 6.5.
It's a 6. I think the soundtrack is pretty good. The
soundtrack's good. I think
it's a good horror.
Just a good version of Frankenstein.
That's pretty much it,
Maybe not a good parody of it, just a good version of it, you know?
Yes.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
All right, well, we've come to the end of all of the random categories that we came up with before the show, plus the font one that we came up with during the show.
Yeah, which helps the situation loads.
Are there any random categories that you can think of, Jacob, that you'd like to bring up, to add discussion to our discovery of which of these movies is better?
A scientific.
Scientific method.
Research.
I don't think so. I think I added it in mine.
I did want to point out the sets and stuff. Well, I don't know if that could good. Be its own category. Mm.
That's a good one.
It's funny with, obviously, Blazing Saddles. They literally, like, at one point, they make a set to deceive the bad guys. And then in the middle of fighting in that set, they move on to the rest of fucking Warner Brothers and start breaking into other sets.
That was really
so
good.
I don't even know what to rate it on the set things there.
I liked as well how with the joke where they make the set to confuse the bad guys, they then go into the set that they have built, and it's the same set that the whole movie's been set in to that point.
It is very funny.
This is really good. The sets, I think, for Blazing Saddles are really good, though. Like,
yeah, they are great.
The railroad was good. The quicksand was obviously
The quicksand was weird to me because I didn't know if they were making fun of the fact that quicksand is really dumb in films. They probably were, right?
Maybe.
Quicksand doesn't seem very threatening nowadays that we know that quicksand won't be a problem every 5 minutes.
For sure. I think it's pretty high up in the set world, though. In terms of sets, what number
with an 8.
An 8 out of 10 for the set. That's pretty good, I agree. Yeah. For the sets in Frankenstein, very different sort of sets to Blazing Saddles, because the movie's in black and white, which means, obviously, the sets are made to have a lot of shade in them. Be quite gothic, quite Tim Burton-y, a lot of angles.
It just reminded me that when the train left at the start of the film, the lady coughed because there was so much smoke. I thought that was very funny. It was very stupid.
That was good. Oh, I like the joke in... I didn't bring it up. I like the joke in Blazing Saddles when, in the church, every character's having their own, like, monologue moment. They're like, I agree with Sir Johnson. And then a character has their monologue, and then another character's like, I agree with the point that you're making.
I liked their hymn that ended in shit.
That was pretty good.
that might go to the music category, but that one was quite fun.
Oh, my partner actually mentioned something in Blazing Saddles. They swear a lot in that movie, but they never take the Lord's name in vain ever. Ever in that. They do a lot in Young Frankenstein, but never in Blazing Saddles, which I'm like, that's actually the only thing that's maybe era appropriate
to the movie. Which is funny because they have a swearing priest in Blazing Saddles who's constantly doing that.
What did you think
about the sets on Frankenstein?
Like...
the castle, you know?
I think Blazing Saddles does it much better.
Yeah.
And that is, like... Frankenstein is at a disadvantage because it's got, like, one location.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
Maybe 1.5, you know, like...
Mm.
But Blazing Saddles, yeah, they make a whole world.
They make a whole bloody world.
But it's like obviously a set.
And then they break the world that they've carefully crafted to go into just wild shenanigans.
And they use the set for comedy, which is done a little bit in Frankenstein with the swinging door case and stuff, but not enough.
For sure. To get big marks.
It is directly parodying a movie as well. So they have to, like, bring in the Frankenstein, like, scientist tables and stuff. Yeah. I liked the cobwebs just fucking everywhere.
Yeah, for sure.
And the dumb fucking secret entrance that he gets stuck in.
That was...
some fucking reason.
That was a funny extended sequence, yes.
Yeah.
I'm feeling a 6 to a 7.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
I'll give it a 6.
A 6.
Is there any categories you want to come up with, Sandra?
Not really. I can't really think of anything.
I think
how the movie has aged, maybe. With high ratings means it's aged well, low ratings means it hasn't aged. Blazing Saddles has a lot of references to actors from the 70s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which hasn't aged well.
I definitely think that Frankenstein has aged better, not necessarily that it is the better film, but it doesn't aged better.
Although Young Frankenstein does have an assault scene for no reason.
Yeah.
Which does knock a few points
off.
Yeah,
really does.
Yeah, okay, that one didn't age very well.
So maybe like an 8 for Frankenstein.
Fucking Indian guy. Fucking blackface.
Yeah, Blazing Saddles as well. Yeah.
They both haven't aged spectacularly well.
No.
Let's just throw it out there.
I mean, the fact that Blazing Saddles is directed by a white guy... You know that as well.
I'm thinking 6 and 7.
Six to Blazing, 7 to... Ah, you know what?
That's me.
That's reasonable.
I agree with this. And I think with that, we shall end it, unless Jacob has any other ones you'd like to
hear,
add.
I want
to
hear the tally.
Yeah.
And then based on the tally, I'll make up my category that...
Yeah.
I like this idea. All right, well, as I add up the points, it's time for our favorite segment of bonus battles... Trying to fill the silence.
Do, 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 Shrek.
Yeah, to fill the silence, what do you reckon, Shrek or Shrek 2?
Well, after
For the playlist.
I felt like I was being bullied. There was 3 versus 1. It was hardcore. I'll stand by my things, but I can concede in the end that you might have been correct. But I'm hoping with this this time I can beat you. I can prove that my points are correct. There's no way I could be wrong twice in a row. There's no way you could win these debates, right?
I'm doing my best, Zach.
Yeah.
If Blazing Saddles is up, mm-hmm. I'll make a new category.
To prove me correct.
The best Transylvanian.
The most Transylvanian.
Yeah. All right. Well, I've got the final scores.
The final scores.
I've got the final scores. First up, with a 60 points out of a possible 80 points.
Whoa.
It's Blazing Saddles.
Oh, that's pretty high. That's pretty good. Yeah.
And then Young Frankenstein on 59.5.
Oh,
that's so close.
Out of 80.
That's so close.
Whoa.
But
that
here's the thing.
That has to be the closest bonus battle.
That is the
that
closest.
We've ever done.
That's the closest we've ever had, but I'm going to make
it
closer.
Even with all our bullshit categories.
I'm going to make it even closer by saying, you know, famously on the show, I hate 0.5s.
Oh, shut
so
up.
So I'm rounding up to a
60.
Oh, wow.
I hate this.
And
I hate
tied.
This. I want it rounded down. I refuse to take this pity win of yours. Yeah.
What does Jacob think? If Jacob wants it rounded down, we can round it down.
I just thought of a really good category.
We got a really good category. Hey, maybe it could come back by it. Naturally, unlike your fabricated tying bullshit.
Makeup design for Gene Wilder's character.
Oh, I like this one.
Mm.
They're exactly the same. That's
he's got a bit of stubble in Blazing Saddles.
He's got the cowboy outfit. Does that count as makeup? Or
yeah, but he has the scientist suit.
Mm-hmm. He does look like, except in Frankenstein, he dresses up as some random dude with the violin to tempt Frankenstein at one point. He
that's
on
true.
He might be up by 0.5.
There we go.
He's just us.
Oh my god!
I hate that. Why did I say that?
So that's an
that
8 out of 10 for Blazing Saddles, and then an 8.5
because that was
for
my
Frankenstein.
Point. He dresses up only in that one scene. Does he dress up different? And you can still tell it's him because of his like piercing eyes.
It's true. Well, now that's on 68 out of 90 across the board for both movies, which is still a tie, but we're going to leave it at that.
I fucking hate everything. I concede that perhaps you're right. Perhaps Blazing Saddles was the better movie.
Just slightly.
Just in general.
I still prefer Young Frankenstein. And I think this is the first time I prefer the loser of a bonus battle.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I prefer Young Frankenstein. I think I'll be watching that one more often.
I think only Blazing Saddle just really didn't jive with me at first.
Mm.
And if maybe I'd watched them in the other order, I actually would have enjoyed Blazing Saddles more because I was more in that like comedy, like I was on what level he was on. Whereas Blazing Saddles was not great at putting me in the same level of comedy that he was in straight away.
For sure. Mm. But there we go.
Damn it, Jacob. I'll get you next time. My arguments will be so sound.
Well, that's
I'll yell even louder into the microphone.
Well, that's the entire episode. Jacob, thanks so much for joining us once again.
Can I quickly say, Zach, you invite me on the podcast. You pick what movie I'm watching.
And I'll get you next time. I'll get you next. I'll invite you again. And then I'll be
and
you
then
this
I'll
time.
Pick the worst movie.
I'll make you watch some comedy schmuck. Some bit where multiple donkeys do cocaine. Yeah.
But that's a good thing, though. Yeah. That's what we want in a comedy.
Are you ever going to do, like, a contemporary yet? Like, just 2023 or something?
We did do that once.
We did 2001. I don't know how modern we'll get.
That's still 2 decades.
That's still 2 decades ago. We could go modern at some point. Maybe. Potentially.
Morbius and Madame Web.
Yeah. We could
double
do.
Feature.
Yeah.
Well, we do have a new format coming in at the end of this year, because we are only going to 2000, which is only 30
That's
episodes.
True.
In September or October, we got a new format kicking in that does allow us to do new movies.
Oh, cool. Ooh, spoilers.
So we don't know. We don't
ooh,
know. We could.
There might be some fun things in the future.
See what happens. Knows. But knowing us, we will pick bad movies on purpose for the majority of that whole segment.
Look, there
I'm
is
now,
a niche.
I'm now figuring out where I can get Madame Web in so I can make you watch that piece
I do
want to
watch it.
Yeah, I
really want
to watch
it.
Let's just watch it.
Yeah.
Let's watch it and just do a bonus podcast.
Yeah, just a bonus, just fucking Madame Web.
Oh, but anyway, that's the whole episode. Thanks so much for joining us, Jacob. Do you have anything you'd like to plug? Any socials, anything that you got going on?
First of all, look, I am in the comedy festival this year.
What?
It's a show called A Very Normal Dinner. Yeah. Very Normal Dinner with Your Parents, if anyone's in Melbourne.
Mm.
But then also check out Corner Shop Comedy, and we have shows in Comfest and workshops. If you listen to these gentlemen be funny, think you could do it as well? You can. So come.
What?
Yeah, come. You could do way better even.
You can.
Yeah, and we're a not-for-profit, so we're not guzzling up your money.
That's right. Links in the episode description to that.
Speaking of guzzling up your money, check out our Patreon.
Yeah, if you want to help keep the show alive, to be fair, we spend a lot of that on...
equipment that never gets
here. Equipment that doesn't arrive. And DVD copies of Prancer Returns.
That's really two staples of the Patreon money.
Patreon.com/oldiebutagoodiepod, where you can get bonus episodes, including a bonus episode right now, which was February's, one a month. The bonus episode for February, which is out, was of Friday the 13th, Part 8, Jason Takes Manhattan.
The great part about that one is how much time he spends on a boat and not in Manhattan.
Yeah, doesn't spend a whole lot of time in New York in that one. You can also get ad-free episodes of the main show on Patreon as well for only $1 a month if you want, instead of getting some bonus episodes. All right, let's do... it's time for me to pick the next movie.
Whoa!
That's right. And we're heading over to 1975 for the next episode. I got to pick a movie. Jacob, of course, if you want to help out, you can help out. I'll move my screen around so that you can see...
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I've got the top movies of 1975 right here. First up, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest is a fucking incredible movie.
Yeah.
Well, why don't you sort by the opposite? You're sorting by popularity. You sort
That's
by
right.
just popularity.
Oh, so we can see the least popular movie?
I reckon you should do Mother, I Love You.
Mm.
Unrated.
What about Monty Python and the Holy Grail?
Now
That's a bit of a film. Yeah,
but that's
garbage.
Number four.
Wait, you hate that movie, Jacob?
Yeah, I like the other. I like Monty Python in general.
Yeah,
really.
Holy Grail
you didn't like
just
the Holy Grail.
Is not funny.
Okay.
Oh wow.
I quite like it. So that's quite
like,
interesting.
Like I fart in your general direction. Is that laughing?
That's fair.
Yeah, no, because it's funny when you say it in such a deadpan way because you find that so unfunny. Look, I agree. I hate fart jokes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We could do.
You gotta
Rocky.
Do Jaws. You we gotta could... do Jaws. Come on.
We have done a lot of Jaws shenanigans.
Yeah, we've already done
past.
Jaws 4, and we usually don't go back to franchises that we've done further movies in the series of, but we could do Jaws.
I'd like Zorro, though.
Oh, is there a Zorro movie?
Yeah.
Hell
it doesn't
yeah.
look like a good one.
Oh, that's a shame. I'm looking at the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Mm.
Kind of like Holy Grail. You either love it or you hate it. The Picnic at Hanging Rock is an Australian movie. I've been to Hanging Rock and I've never seen or read any of the stories based at Hanging Rock, but it's like some sort of murder mystery thing.
You went to Hanging Rock, Sandra.
That's right.
When did you go there? Mm.
When? Mm. Oh, no. Mm.
Implication, man.
No, I wasn't born in the 70s.
The man of bronze.
The man of bronze?
Doc Savage.
Ooh.
It's a comic book hero.
Okay.
Probably a bit like Flash Gordon, where it's just a guy, unlike our modern day... Once he's just like a heroic guy.
Just and he wears clothes that are like a bit...
No, he doesn't wear clothes. He's pretty shirtless.
Wait, actually?
Yeah, he's got like a shredded jerkin that he's in.
Mm. A shredded jerkin.
Yeah. I see what you mean. I see what you mean.
Let me do the shredded jerkin.
I don't know. Jerkin's maybe not the word I was entirely looking for.
I think I have had a shredded jerkin before. That was painful. Yeah. That's not good. It's not a
look,
fun time.
Look, it's shredded something.
I don't know. It's shredded, right? The whole point is you can't fucking tell what it is anymore.
Keep scrolling, Sandman.
Well, there is Deep Red, which I actually own on Blu-ray. Yes.
Whoa,
an Italian.
Convenient.
It's an Italian Dario Argento horror film, which every time there is a spooky sequence, music plays that is not scary in any way, and that's. But it's still a pretty frightening movie. Mm-hmm. But no, I'm not going to pick that one. Still having a look at what else we got here.
What about the Hindenburg?
No, I don't
wonder what that one's about.
Oh, Ilsa She-Wolf of the SS. It's a Nazi exploitation movie. Which, If you don't know what this genre is. Jacob, it's a genre of movies in the 70s where they just made really fucked violent movies about Nazis torturing people. And that's the genre.
Wow.
But they're shown as the bad guys, but they're the main cast. It's a weird time in the 70s.
Because I saw Salo is on this as well.
Yeah.
Death Race 2000.
That could be good.
Under the dictatorship of Mr. President, a brutally violent race rewards the fastest driver who claims the most victims. Until a group of Thomas Paine's descendants revolt.
Ooh. That sounds fun.
It's in the future.
There is Escape to Witch Mountain, which I have seen the remake with The Rock. I quite like that
one. Oh, yeah.
But no, I know what I'm picking.
What?
We did Blazing Saddles, which some might say is a blaxploitation movie made by Mel Brooks. But we're in the 70s, so I want to pick a blaxploitation movie made by Rudy Ray Moore, famous comedian.
Ooh.
I'm picking a movie called Dolomite.
Dolomite.
Which is a very famous, so bad it's good kind of blaxploitation comedy film. I've seen the movie about the making of this where Eddie Murphy plays... Whoa. Rudy Ray Moore, and it's very good. Wow. So I've always wanted to watch the movie that actually came
out. That is an interesting context that you have, is you've watched a movie about the making of this movie. So that'd be interesting, because I'll go in without that, and we'll see how we go.
Yeah, it's a case of, like, he was a comedian that, I mean, he wasn't even that popular, but he was like, I want to make my own movie. So he just kind of made it work himself.
Back in the day,
artists
would actually make money.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
I don't believe you. I don't think there was any time where that happened.
So yeah, I think two white guys sitting down talking about Dolomite is a great podcast idea. And
as always.
And I mean, honestly, I've just always wanted to watch it, so I think we should check it out.
Because these guys, they only watch movies of the podcast now.
It's true.
Because you could just watch it.
Like, you could just watch it.
You could pick yours and then just watch it.
But I don't have time to watch movies outside of the podcast, so we're just going to do it.
That's true.
Yeah. No, I think it could be fun, and we are in the 70s, and I think exploring every genre that happened in the 70s is good. And I'm not doing Nazi exploitation, so let's do blaxploitation instead. Now, Jacob, I am in charge of the time traveling this season. Do you think, because Zach...
I don't like it.
I've forced Zach to do every episode back to back to back. We haven't had any breaks since we've started.
Can I take a break now? Yeah. I'd like a break between movies. Like, I haven't slept unless... Well, I am in a coma, so I guess I'm always sleeping. Mm. I'm not sure how that works.
Do you think I should let Zach have a break, or should I just...
Yeah, give him a break.
I'm a good guy. Yeah. Listen to this guy, you know? You don't have to be wacky all the time. You don't have to be, I'm an exposition ghoul. I'm wacky Sandro this season.
That's true.
We can be chill. I could calm down a bit.
This conversation is a lot more sad when you realize that Zach is speaking to his sleep paralysis.
Yeah. Look.
The demon can say whatever you like, Zach. You're staying in the coma. You
know? Yeah, it's true. You will stay in the coma. But I will give you a short break. You can have 20 minutes of free time.
20 minutes?
Oh, before we then get
started.
Am I going
to have to fill that air of this podcast?
Yes, we will now wait here for 20 minutes and then teleport to 1975.
Can we just skip to the bit where I, teleport?
No, we can go right now.
Oh, no!
Here we go!